One of the most wonderful things about working with our two worship leaders, Ann and Gray, is that God speaks to them. And I know it to be a fact. He speaks to them, guiding them and giving them the hymns for this week and each week. And every Wednesday I receive them from them. I pray over them. And then I put them in the bulletin. Today, notwithstanding, we've already sung two hymns that solidly stand with today's Holy Gospel. Christ is made the sure foundation. And on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. We're not done. Wait till the rest of the hymns come and fill us this morning. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus tells the people a parable. A parable of the vineyard owner who has sent messengers to the tenant farmers to no effect. It goes without saying that no first century Jew would have needed to be told that the owner was a representation of God. The farmers for Israel, and the messengers were God's prophets. The landowner, having no one left to send, sent his beloved son. This son came as the rightful heir, the king, to his father's tenants, and they were standing in his way, determined to keep the vineyard for themselves. Eventually, they threw him out and they killed him. And so far, the meaning of the story seems pretty obvious and fits like a glove with the rest of Luke's gospel that we've been learning throughout this year. Jesus is, of course, the rightful heir and has come to complete the work of God's ancient prophets, challenging Israel one more time to give to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the honor and obedience that is due to him. Israel was supposed to be producing the fruit of righteousness and then showing God's grace to the world around them, if not the entire world. But Israel, in its own self-centered way, was insisting on keeping the grace all for themselves, practicing injustice in its own life, and seeking to repel and resist the world around them by whatever violent means might be necessary. Israel rejected the way of peace and is about to reject its final messenger. But the story doesn't stop there. The vineyard owner, Jesus tells us, will return at last. And when he does, the judgment that Israel longed to be meted out against the pagan nations will instead be sentenced upon her. He will destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others, the Gentiles. The leadership in Jerusalem during Jesus' day and the temple's self-appointed guardians of Israel's law and heritage are signing their own death warrants. Their rejection of Jesus will be taken up by God into the rebuilding plans for his people. The stone the builders rejected, in this case the Messiah sent to Israel but rejected, has become the capstone. These words from Psalm 118, verse 22, use a very different image from that of the vineyard. Ironically, and this is an aha moment, that very same psalm is echoed by the crowds in Luke 19:38, as Jesus rode on the back of a colt into the city when they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." There's no irony here. God knows what he's doing before we do. Jesus' reference to the cornerstone or capstone reminds the people of the construction of the temple under Solomon's reign, when the massive stones were chiseled in a quarry miles away in order that no sound would be heard upon the temple site, the Temple Mount. When the stones arrived, if one didn't fit, they simply threw it down the hill into the Kidron Valley. When it became evident that the cornerstone was missing, the stone that had been rejected turned out to be the one that fit perfectly. Jesus applies this to himself. You're trying to build your salvation apart from me, but you're going to see that I am the cornerstone. That is in effect what Jesus is saying. Without me, nothing stands. Jesus is the stone which does not fit the preconceived Israeli or Israelite notion of the Messiah. He's not coming in riding on a white horse with a sword up in the air. No, he's peaceful. He comes in meek and mild, preaching peace. His resurrection from the dead, though, will prove that he's the one on whom all eternity is built. Though the leaders of the political world and the religious world may reject Jesus, God has made him the centerpiece of his plan. Though people, even all people, reject him and refuse to build their life upon him and his word, there is no replacement of or for God's precious and chosen cornerstone. And Jesus is quoting this verse at this point, absolutely rams his message home to them. The workers may reject Jesus now, but they will find very, very soon that he will be vindicated. Soon, he will be seen as the true Messiah. He will build the true temple, and he himself will be its chief feature, the standard by which everything and everyone else is to be judged. It very well may mean rejection and violence, and the history of Christian martyrdom and persecution is a glaring witness to that. But the vineyard owner will have the last word. The blood of the martyrs is always the seed for the church. What happened to Jesus was the decisive victory. Ever since then, his followers have gone on their mission to declare by their life, their words, and their actions that this way has already triumphed in Jesus, that the renewed vineyard is bearing fruit, and that the new temple with its cornerstone already in place is none other than Christ himself. Verses 15 and 16 of today's gospel reveal the ultimate result of the callousness and hardness of the man's heart against the rule of God. Listen. So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they say, may this never be. The rejection of the message and the messengers is harsher each time. Ultimately, instead of remorse and repenting, they do the very opposite thing. The rebellious tenants killed the beloved son. A glimpse of the foreshadowing and fate that awaits Jesus in Jerusalem. The son is killed outside the vineyard or camp, evidenced by the author of Hebrews. In Hebrews 13, verses 12 and 13, historically we know that Golgotha was outside the city gates. The author of Hebrews writes, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. That's what Lent is all about. The vineyard was a familiar image of God's investment and expectation of the return from his people. God had used this image numerous times through the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel. And these people understood the implication, and they were stunned at the word of final judgment on the tenants, sensing that they too will fall with the nation as God turns over the vineyard to the Gentiles. The Holy Gospel says they wanted to kill him right then, but they were afraid of the reaction of the people. Jesus' word of prophecy was another opportunity, another invitation for Jewish leaders to repent. to turn back to God. He was pleading with them to turn to God in truth and save not only their own lives, but the lives of their whole nation. So what was their answer? They responded with a tragically unrepentant, "May this never be." The crowd's strong negative response indicates that they understood the consequences of what Jesus was talking about. The Jewish system was being set aside because the religious leaders were rejecting him, and the people were following the leadership of the temple, the leadership of Jerusalem instead of God's. This parable climaxes and sums up all of Jesus' messages concerning the fact that the Gentiles and outcasts, tax collectors and sinners, repented, would be added to the kingdom because Israel would not recognize and submit to Jesus and his ultimate authority. Verse 18 states that those who will not fall upon this stone in the brokenness of repentance will have that stone fall upon them in judgment. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. I struggled for a long time with the words cornerstone, because to me, a cornerstone is something that is put in a building and usually has the date it was built and some information, and possibly inside a little time capsule is put so when the building comes down, people will see. As I started to look further, capstone is truly what it's called. And as a wall is built, as I referenced to before, when it's all done, at the corner, this capstone goes up and holds it all together. Tremendous image of what Jesus is saying. He is the means of repentance and judgment. Rejecting God's beloved Son by failing to cast your life upon him has grave consequences. No pun intended. You see, those who aren't broken before him will one day be broken by him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Philippians 2:10. The only question is, when will your life be broken by God's precious cornerstone? Will you cast your life upon him now to be broken before him in repentance and be saved? Or will you wait too long and be broken or crushed by him when he returns to judge the world? Listen to these words from the Apostle Peter. He wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." In today's world, we are surrounded by all kinds of advice, all kinds of experts, especially during this political campaign. Everybody has something to say about everything, and sometimes it's in circles. No judgment, it's just what I'm hearing. And we know that you can turn on any channel on TV or on the radio, and there's a subject matter expert offering their advice about just about everything you'd want to hear. The only true and trustworthy expert is Jesus Christ himself. He gives us the absolute certain truth, which is recorded and written in Holy Scripture. If we repent and fall upon Christ as the new cornerstone of our life will be broken in pieces. But by trusting in him and living for him, we can rebuild it upon the chosen cornerstone of eternal existence. If we fall upon him and build our life upon him, he will never let us down. We will never, ever cease to be put in his glory and his righteousness. We will never, ever be put to shame. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is never too early to begin to build a life based and built upon the cornerstone, the solid foundation, Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples there were two men. One man built his house upon the sand, and the wind blew, and the storms came. And what happened to that house? It was blown away. And the man built his house on the solid rock. And when the winds came and the storms came, it stood. That is the foundation on which we build our faith. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let Satan give us his best, but Christ stands with us. And we will stand with him for all eternity. Is that good news? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.